Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, good morning. It's not early either, you guys. I have a 2-hour time difference, so I'm up 2 hours earlier than all of you. Because I have not adapted yet. And I got this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. It hit my 7 o'clock, and I was like, "Man, it's only 5." I'm watching my wife let my dogs out through my Blink app. I want to just thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to share your pulpit this morning. This is a sacred place, and I thank you so much. And you've done a wonderful job. You have been here 14. Well, I'm prophesying 15 to 20 to 35. But it's wonderful to be back. I was here a few years ago. I did a men's conference here about, 5 years ago maybe? And then Pastor and I were talking about, I need a youth pastor. And I was like, okay, listen, if you give me a little bit of time. Now, it took a little bit of time. But there came Pastor Zach. And I met Zach through an old friend that began to pastor where he was at. And Zach came via way of Michigan to Wyoming. And Pastor Matt, it's so good to see you here this morning too, my friend. But it's good to be here. So let me tell you a little bit about what I do, because we're going to break bread, okay? How many want to break bread? Anybody hungry? 3 of you. Okay, here's what we do. John chapter 5. Go to John chapter 5. You're going to see some of the screen up, stuff on the screen. I'm going to talk to you about power, authority, and the move forward. But let me just give you a little skinny what I do. Yes, I've been in youth ministry now for youth ministry and mentorship. I mentor 5 youth pastors a week. I raise interim ministry, so I'll go to a church that needs a youth ministry, they have nothing, and I'll meet a core group of people, I'll set things up, everything from feeding kids to mentoring young people. There's about 4 or 5 different facets that I use. I wait till about 5-6 months, I raise them, and I find them a youth pastor, or maybe there's one in the group, and then I move on. I do interims all over now. I travel now, not just youth ministry, men's ministry, leadership conferences. I've done women's conferences, that's kind of a fun thing. No, it is. It's really fun because I can really mess with that. Because I had 3 sisters, so I know what it's like to have a family full of women. Ladies, that'd be a good one to go. So I do that. And then I also travel every other week. I'm out of state. My wife tells me I'm out of state, out of mind. I know that already. But I travel in state, out of state. I minister. And I'm a traveling evangelist the last 15 years. I put 27 years of ministry in 4 wonderful churches. So that means I spent a lot of time in each church, 12 and a half, 1, 15 in another, 8 in one, and 9 in another. And God's now moved me on to be an evangelist. And I have a new thing out in the Arthex out there, and it's a 24 for 24. If you'd like to partnership, if you'd like to come along, even if you take a card and say, I want to pray for you in your ministry as you travel, to the youth, to the millennials, to now the Gen Alpha that's with us, all your children, God's given us the gift to be able to minister. Is if you want to be a part of that, just praying, I need you. I need prayer. I need some of the stuff. I don't preach conventionally. I don't preach. I don't do all this at breaking everything down verse by verse. I'm kind of like not a jackrabbit, but kind of crazy close to that. You'll see this morning. But there will always be a method to madness. I never wanted to be a youth pastor. I went to University of Valley Forge College in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, near Philly. Yes, thank you, somebody. And, there you are back there. And when I want to do physical education and health. I got to give you the skinny because you'll have to understand what happens here. I was raised in a home. At 8 years old, I received Christ into my life at a camp. And at that time, the Lord said to me, and the speaker said also, you no longer have the DNA of your parents. You now have the DNA of the blood of Jesus in your life to break all the generational curses. My father was an alcoholic. My father was a womanizer, had an adulterous affair on my mother. They were separated 3.5 years. When I was growing up, we went through 4 youth pastors in 3 years, and I thought, God, you're funny. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to be a statistic. I want to be a lifer, so you're going to have to mess me up. Went through the whole journey, went through college. Graduated, and the college asked me to come back and coach and teach, and I did. I was going for my master's in education. I wanted to be in a gym class. I wanted to knock a kid out with a dodgeball and then pray for him. I was all-state wrestler, all-state soccer player. We're playing soccer. Hit the goalie upside the head, knocked the goalie out. Pray for him. Because that's what I wanted to do. I was like, physical education and health is my master's. I have my master's in secondary ed. So I'm like in this groove until God messed me up. A single gentleman for 5 years waiting on the Lord as far as who I'm going to meet because I had a heartbreak. Anybody ever have a heartbreak? Two of you. And so what happens is you get your heart broken, things begin to happen, and you're like, Lord, I don't even want to talk about anybody. I don't want to date anybody. And then Lord brought me my Long Island, New York, sassy, full-blooded little Italian. 4'11", says she's 5 foot to this day. Last Wednesday, we were married literally on November 8th, 1986. We've been married 37 years. So we just celebrated 37. My wife is a nurse practitioner. She now has just got a brand new job in delivery. So she's a nurse practitioner in delivery. She makes the money so I can keep playing. And I can keep depending on people that are investors and love offerings. And thank you, Pastor, for letting me come. But it was when I met her that God straightened everything out. How many know a good woman? A good woman will change your life. How many know a nasty woman can change your life too? Ladies, a good man will change your life, but a nasty man can change your life too. And I'm there, and I'm in my second year of coaching and teaching, and there comes my Lori that I stalked her. I mean, I dated her for a while. And she finally said yes. And again, we've been married that long. But the Lord transitioned and she said to me, I cannot marry you. God told me I'm to marry someone that works with youth. Now, at the age of 8, when I was at camp, I was prophesied I would speak to the nation of young people. 8 years old. As a junior in high school, after leaving my dad, it was a zero in my life. After my parents were separated, I led my dad to Jesus. Thank you. There is reconciliation. And there is freedom. And when you leave somebody that you hated so much all your life that now you love him. And I buried my father well at the age of 80, dying of bone cancer. But I'm just telling you that the things happened. As a junior in high school, I got called out by Dave Reaver. If you don't know who he is, look him up. And he called me out of a church, brand new Assembly of God. It wasn't in the assemblies. I was in the Italian church. And I went to the assemblies, and in my first 3 months, I'm sitting with the pastors on the back row. And he called me out and he says, you are to preach to the nation of young people. And I looked at him and I said, are you talking to me or are you talking to the pastor's sons in the back row? And he said, I'm talking to you because God's going to give you power. God's going to give you authority. And you're going to move a youth of this generation forward. And that's where we're at today with this passage of scripture, John chapter 5. I gave you the introduction just so you can realize who I am and what I've come for. I'm just an ordinary person. I have make a lot of mistakes. You can ask my wife. She corrects me all the time. But I love it. You know, there's chapter 4. Let me get into this. Chapter 4, there's this crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. And he's waiting for his healing. How many have ever seen this or read this in Scripture? And the Bible says that there was a time where this pool was this healing pool. And when the waters would bubble up, people would jump in the water. And who's ever first would get healed. And they believed in all that. And they were seeing it happen. But there was this one paralytic, this one gentleman that always somehow, I don't know what happened, all his life he's lived by the pool, but he's clear back here. Like, and he's trying to fight his way up, and he's getting beat up, and he's getting pushed. If you've ever seen the movie Chosen, it really depicts this pretty well. He gets there, and all of a sudden he gets ready to jump in, and somebody jumps in, and it's over. Now, I don't know about you and I, but I'm a very selfish Christian. What? I'm a very selfish Christian. I really am. I love giving things away, and I say that because I want everything God has for me so that I can bless others. That might sound ridiculous. It's not supposed to be selfish people, but I'm saying I'm a very selfish Christian because me, I would have been at the edge, and I've been like, hey, I'm in. I'm not waiting for you. I'm not waiting for you. I'm not waiting for you. I'm not going to get pushed out of the way, punched out of the way. Listen, I've been bullied all my life. I'm only 5'6". I was told yesterday I'm actually shorter, and I'm not. But I'm just telling you straight up, I would get to the edge, and I would just plop in. That's who I am. But this gentleman wasn't. This gentleman was like in the back, and he refrained, and every time, and he would always sulk in his stuff because he would not move towards the altar. And someone's here today, I want to tell you this. Get selfish in getting closer to Jesus. Someone today, I have a question for you. Do you want to be healed? four of you. Do you want to be healed? Because today I believe that step forward, and I understand what people say. They always say, and I know what's preached in this church. There's healings every Sunday. There's the miraculous. You walk out of here whole. That's what should happen. Every step, every place, every step that you take, you walk your healing. Yes. But today I've got a question. Do you want to be healed? Because there's this man, Jesus, that showed up at this pool. And he asked this cripple one question. Only one question. Do you want to be healed? And here's what the cripple said. He made an excuse. Who are you? Do you know who I am? You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's happened in my life. And Jesus says, I have one simple question. Do you want to be healed? And it's amazing when Jesus asks us, do you want to give to the outreach? Do you want to give to this? You always say stuff like, well, I'm not sure. What's it all about? What's included in that? What's my part in that? Instead of just giving and trusting, come on, somebody. And then instead of trusting this word, we have our own ideology of what God's saying. It can't be this. This can't be the truth. When this is the only GPS, it'll get you anywhere. God's perfect system. And he asked him one simple question. And he said, do you want to be healed? And he said, yes, I want to be healed. And all Jesus said was to stand up. And he stood. For the first time in many years. Because here's why. Power showed up. Power through the blood of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Son of God, showed up. And the man is ecstatic. And the man goes off from there, and he moves from there, and he runs from there, and he walks out of there, and he's like, oh my gosh! And he takes his little happy steps, and he's moving, and here's Peter. Peter goes, wait a minute, before you leave, though, pick up your mat. And he says, why? I don't need it anymore. He goes, no, pick up your mat. Pick up your mat. Well, what do you mean? Because you're not coming back. And see, some of us this morning, you might have walked in with a headache, migraine, problems with your kids, problems with your marriage, problems with this. But I'm asking you a question. Do you want to be healed? Because he's here today. And what he's going to ask you, as Peter did too, is pick up your mat. See, the problem is we pick up our mat, but then we lay it back down. It's like the hoarder. How many people know hoarders? I saw you looking. No, they're not sitting next to you. We have hoarders. You go to their house and it's like, it's like, oh my gosh, can you get rid of anything? No, because in 1931, I found this little tiny rock and then I found 30 of them and all of a sudden your house is full of rocks. It's no longer about a pet rock. Remember that movement? But we're hoarders of the word. We're hoarders of things. And we get clutter in our life. Come on, somebody. We get clutter. And then we miss this. So John chapter 5, verse 16, it says this. It says this. And you'll see some PowerPoints up. It says, power. Number one is power. It is he who is in me. I want you to say this with me. I want you to say this. It is he who is in me. Now I want you to say it like you're convinced. It is he who is in me. Now, if you don't say it because you don't understand it, but I'm telling you this, who got me up this morning was my God because I'm 2 hours delayed. I'm waking up every 2 hours just to make sure I'm not late because I know I got to be here before 9:15. I'm just telling you, at 7:15, I'm like, I'm going to be on time. Power, it is he who's in me. The Bible says, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leader began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they tried to kill him. The more they tried to kill him, not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling him his own Father, God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Verse 19 says this, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, now this is awesome, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Now, when I read this scripture, I had a problem at first. Because I thought, wait, if I can do things as the Father, my Father was not a good man. And we do that in our lives. We always equate this scripture as to our earthly father. And I'll be honest, I loved my father. Listen, I couldn't stand my father at first. My father was a zero in my life. My name was never Son or Randy until the age of 19 years old. My name was Mr. I was the only son. I had three sisters. He wasn't braggadocious on me. He wasn't even involved in my life until later in my life. But what I'm saying is, when I see this and you sing a song, "He's a good, good father," there are times people can't sing that song because they're trapped in this earthly father, the ideology. Come on, somebody. And the healing isn't there. The power's not there because they're in the wrong father. And Jesus says, what you see the Father do, the Son, as the Son does, what the Father does. So yes, he was equating himself. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Colossians 1. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that ye may have great endurance and patience. You know what I'm watching today is our culture's losing the endurance. We are too quick to judge, too quick to call. Come on, church. You see what's happened in our country? All of a sudden, Israel gets attacked. Everybody that comes against God, comes against authority, comes against blasphemy, all of a sudden they come out of the woodwork. Come on, somebody. You know, it's amazing. I travel school to school to school to school, and the first thing the principal asked me is, are you going to try to bring Jesus on our campus through your clubs, you know, Youth Alive, and what are you going to do? I have Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I have Athletes in Action. I have Campus Life Youth for Christ, and all of a sudden, you're going to come out of nowhere, and you're going to do something different. It's like, we're not doing anything different. We want to love on your young people. We're not trying to brainwash them. We're just trying to tell them there's a better life that they can have through Jesus Christ. And at first, you're going to get laughed at. And I've had them laugh at me. But then once a youth ministry like Sand Lake, the church was planted in, say, June, a church plant under a tent. This just happened this last year. They had 16 people come to their first service. Now they run about 75 to 80. They're only 1 year in existence. But in September, they called me and said, would you come and help us do an interim with youth? We've known you for years. You've mentored us in ministry. And we started with four kids under a tent. Last week, they had 197 students. Now, when I say that to you, it's not as crazy as Wyoming as far as township to township. But this Sand Lake is way out. It's way up north. It's far almost to Big Rapids. There's nobody there. It's just a place called Tri-County. But something happened. Young people went in, started a prayer club, and out of nowhere, they started leading their friends to Jesus. And then they started to invite him in this youth group. Now, there's great youth ministries all around it, but it's a little farther north, and there's really not, this should not be happening. But there's a Jesus revolution that happens when you step into the power of God. Come on, somebody following me? Ephesians chapter 1:19 says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength of God. 1 Corinthians 2:5. Some people say to me, you always tell stories. You don't use that much scripture. I use a lot of scripture. And I use a lot of stories because I think they're effective. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. How many people know that you lean a lot of times on your own wisdom? Come on now, the Bible says you shouldn't be doing that. You should be leaning on the wisdom of God. Let me say this really quickly to you. This is a powerful line if you want to write this down. Power is not something you take. Power is something given. Power is not something you take. Power is something given. See, the problem in our culture is people are trying to take power. How many of you have families? How many have brothers and sisters? You don't think you have people jockeying for who's the best? Now, I know in my family, I'm number one. On my mother's it was about 91 birthday, we celebrate. She'll be 94 next week. My mother's the new 60. She kind of drives me crazy. But she lives in the power of God. She gets up every morning, has her little cup of coffee, and has an hour and a half devotion and prayer. Every single morning. And she says this to us, I'm not sure why I'm still here, but she has the youth ministry over. Once a month, the youth pastor invites 4 to 5 kids until she goes through the whole youth group, and there's about 70. My mother has the pastoral team over for dinner once every other month. My mother's full-blooded Italian. She can cook, and they love her. But I have three sisters. So my three sisters, I was in New York City. My three sisters went home to her birthday, her 91st birthday. And they're like, hey, Rand, we're here. And I'm like, Mom, I just wanted to call real quick. I want to have your birthday. And they're like, well, we're all here. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're all there? You all made it home? And they're like, yeah, Randy, where are you? And I'm like, well, listen, Mom, tell them where I'm at. Just tell them where I'm at. My mother's like, listen, girls, don't make fun, because he's ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's leading people to Jesus, even though we're having our coffee and our toast. He's talking about the authority and the power of God, and you're going to question what he's doing. Listen, Randy, get out there. Lead more people to Jesus. I'm like, man, you're my number one cheerleader, girl. And I say to her in front of them, Mom, go ahead and tell them. Go ahead and tell them. And my oldest sister that's 4 years older, I have a two years older, and then I have a twin sister. Well, don't look at me like that. She's got hair, okay? She's got hair. She's got all the good looks. She's got everything going on. I was cursed from the Bambino. My grandfather, it just happens. And my grandfather was a barber. My grandparents were in the hair. My parents owned their own salon. My best friend he's a hairstylist too. I was talking to you about this. And I'm just telling you, it was the curse of Bambino. But I'll say, Mom, tell him. Mom, tell him. And she'll be like, girls, listen, he is number one. So I know how we jockey for the power in our families. Don't lie. You know you're number one. Is this your sister or your mother? Is this your sister? Oh, she's too young. The girl? Okay. You know in your family you got power, right? Well, you know this morning you're going to. You're going to go home and talk about it. I'm just saying that power is not something you take. Power is something given. And I'm going to keep moving because I got to keep this thing flowing. But I want you to repeat with me in this. Kingdom-minded, kingdom-driven, kingdom-purposed. I want you to say it with me again. Kingdom-minded, kingdom-driven, kingdom-purposed. Power and authority is in that. If you continue to use your own thinking and understanding of what you think the scripture is, you try to do it on your own, you're not kingdom-minded. See, I'm built for a purpose for such a time as this. Why? Because I'm kingdom-minded, kingdom-purpose. How do I know that? Because I can sit in an airplane now today on the way home, and hopefully God will place somebody next to me. Hopefully that's not huge. Because I got a puddle jumper coming out of here. All the way to Denver, I'm just saying. And they're little. And I always get with somebody that's good size and they're afraid. Or they ask me what I do. And so I take those opportunities. Why? Because I'm kingdom-minded, I'm kingdom-purposed, and I'm kingdom-driven. And in that moment, when they say, I'm just nervous, I'm not sure we're going to make it, I'm like, oh, no, we're going to make it because I'm on the plane. Well, who do you think you are? I'm a blood-bought child of the King. I'm my Savior, my Master, who I follow, follower of Christ. I don't call myself a Christian all the time. I'm a follower of Jesus that happens to be a Christian, Christ-like. I'm not perfect, but today the plane's not going down, baby. So if you want to keep talking, I'll keep preaching. Why? Because I'm kingdom-purposed. I'm kingdom driven. I'm kingdom minded. It's not about me anymore. Listen, I'll be 65 years old. Okay, Josh, Zach, I'll say it, Zach. I'll be 65 years old in January. I have been 40 years. It's the greatest position, the sweetest spot God has ever put me in. I have raised youth ministries up to 800 and some people a week. I'm not lying. I've had larger youth groups than churches in our country. I'm just telling you straight up. I have taken a youth group from 26 to 500. I've taken a youth group from 57 to over 700. How does that happen? Only God. Only God. I'm in the schools. I'm going to activities. I'm invested. Yes, they were not all larger churches. My first church got up to 400 some people in my 10th year, and we had over 400 some young people in our church. So we were out of 800, all the people, and finally one day I said, why are we always splitting? Move! And that day we moved, and man, God came down. But I know how to raise the ministry. Why? It's not because of who I am, but it's because of the power that's in us. And when the power comes, number two, authority comes. I want you to say this with me. We will do. Oh my gosh. We will do greater works for kingdom. The Bible promises that. That's the authority of God. So look at verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show them even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. Verse 21. For just as the Father raised the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but entrusts all judgment, where? To the Son. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Watch, look at verse 24. This is beautiful. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. There is authority that you have because of the power that you have. That means the Bible's not a liar when he says you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I have a friend right now that has a missionary friend. I have a friend right now that, first of all, let me say it this way. He's in Dearborn, Detroit. Second highest population in the world of Muslims. And we have a congresswoman named Tlaib that has lost her mind. And she lives there in Detroit. So I called him and I said, hey, Trey, how are you doing? How's things going? He goes, dude, I have never seen more of a day of revival. I've been here 20, 30 some years, and I'm watching God move today. I am leading more Muslims to Jesus because they're realizing that the Quran is not the truth, that the Bible is the truth and the authority of the word. And I'm having power in my church. I'm seeing authority in my church, and I'm leading people to Christ like I never have. So whether stupid shows up, God shows up. And when crazy tries to take over, God shows up. I told my wife the brand new year, what's your revolution, Randy? Resolution. I said, you know what it is? That I am built for stupid. And I'm totally built for crazy. Why? Because I can be stupidly crazy sometimes. And I love it when young people come up and they try to challenge me and it's like, are you for real, dude? And it's like, yeah, man, this word doesn't say. I said, oh, man, I'm built for you. God has built us for such a time as this. You need to get excited. You don't need to retract. You don't need to retreat. You need to march forward because there's freedom through the word of God. See, when you have power, you have authority. The Bible says you have the authority that Joshua had. Moses had died, and God said to Joshua, Joshua, now that Moses is dead, I am giving you a double anointing. Every place you set your foot, you can change for who God is. So we need to get stepping. And no, I'm not talking about stepping like this. I'm talking about stepping. Listen, I'll tell you this truth. I went to and I spoke one time, a couple times at AA groups. I don't even know why they invited me. It was kind of crazy. And they came to me and I said, hi, my name is Randy. I'm a non-alcoholic. In fact, I'm a son of an alcoholic. I had people say to me, you don't drink because it's an AG thing? No, I don't drink because I had a father that was crazy. And I had a father that cheated on my mother. So what did I learn? That I don't need to drink, and I don't need to cheat. I'm crazy enough to be a prankster, but I kept myself pure so that when 37 years just hit last Wednesday, I can look at my woman and buy her flowers. It's not our day, bro. When you celebrate an anniversary, if you buy him anything, you're crazy. Maybe buy dinner. But it's all, how many know it's all about the woman? None of you. You don't even know that. Dude, anniversary is not about you, bro. Don't look at her. I'm looking right at you. You got that beard going on. You crazy, okay? But I'm going to say this to you right now. That anniversary is about her. So I got her flowers. I mean, I buy my own. I don't buy roses because they die too quick. I buy a collage of stuff. And I have multicolors and everything. Why? Because that's our life. My wife is in, she's a nurse. She works harder than me. My wife will lead people to Christ that I could never lead to Christ. And she does it, whether people say you can or can't. She does. So let me say this to you. I buy her flowers. I got her a pedicure. I got her a manicure. I got her hair stuff done before I left. I'm just telling you, I'm not an idiot. And I have the authority in my home to crown my wife and lavish her with love. Why? Because I got the power of God that says so. And if I show my wife that I have the power of God and I don't have the authority in my own home with my own wife, then why am I even up on the stage? Ladies and gentlemen, when you start walking in the power of God, you have the authority of God. And when God says, pray for that waitress before you eat your meal, you have the authority to do so. When God says, listen, there's a crippled person over there that's hurting. Let me say this. This is a really cool story. It just came out of nowhere. And I know I have only a few more minutes, but it's this. I'm in a restaurant and I see a guy. I'm mentoring a youth pastor. This guy's down in Ferrisburg, Michigan, which is near Grand Haven. You have to understand, it's a lot of lakes, really cool up there. I'm mentoring him. And I'm at this restaurant, and we're sitting there, and I'll be right back. I have to use the restroom. I go to use the restroom, and as I bend around the corner, there's a lane, there's all these tables, and I look, and there's a guy with a patch over his eye and his hand bandaged, and I see him with his head down just crying, and I walk by, and it's like, oh, because I know what's going to happen. Now, I don't want to because I have to use the restroom, and the Lord says to me, pray for him. And I'm like, okay. And I passed him, went to the restroom, did my thing, came out, and the Lord says, if you don't stop, you will not teach that young man. I said, God, but I'm here with Bruce, and I got to do this, man. And he said, pray. So I did. So I moved over, and I said to this couple, I said, ma'am, excuse me, sir, I'm sorry. But the Lord told me to stop a second. Can I pray for you? I don't know where you're at. I don't know what religion you are. I don't think it makes a difference right now. But I see you're hurting. I don't know what's going on. You don't have to even tell me. But can I pray for you? God told me to pray for you. Well, how many have ever heard people weep out loud? No, I mean like really weep. You've never heard anybody really weep out loud? I'm in a restaurant. This woman's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm like, what are we doing here? And I got on my knee at the table, and I took her hand, and I took his good hand, and I prayed over his eye and his hand. And I prayed a powerful prayer. And I wasn't trying to be loud because she was. I get done praying. I go over to my mentee, and I sit down, and he's crying. I'm like, oh, no. What's wrong, bro? I said, I know I'm late. He says, no, let me tell you something. I am thankful to God you're in my life because I don't think I could have ever done that. But watching you do that encourages me because you must have stepped into an authority that you have that you're trying to tell me about. See, people are watching. God's just waiting for you to do your thing. We have that kind of authority. Romans chapter 13, 1 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except which God has established. All authorities that exist have been established by God. That is Romans 13. Romans 13. So I have to ask you a question today. Do you want to be healed?
Yes.
Because you have the power and authorities in this room. That's why we wait upon the Lord. That's why the last 2 days, you will not believe what these altars look like. I'm telling you, the last 2 days, you talk about, come on, brother, you were up in the booth doing PowerPoint. You know what I'm talking about. There was power, there was authority, there was healing. The last day we had them yesterday, last night, we had them put on the stage, friends that they want to see come to the Lord through them, speaking into their life and giving them to the Lord and then inviting them. That's power and that's authority. But remember, some of y'all want to have authority, but you cannot have authority without the power. Wait a minute now. Moms, let me ask you a question. Can you really steer your kids the way you think you can steer your kids? Be honest with me. Can I get at least one witness to that? How many of you have problems with some of your kids sometimes? Nobody? One, two, three, maybe? You want to know how you have authority with them? Okay, don't pull her arm down. In the name of Jesus, don't touch her arm. That's your mama. So mom, today you have the power and authority, not the back slap. Don't do that. But if you don't get this, young people, let me tell you this. You'll never understand respect unless you give it. Mom, why don't you do this? I'm glad I don't have kids. I have two little miniature schnauzers. They don't talk back. They just hungry all the time. But let me tell you something. I've seen this generation try to pop and they become the parent. And the parent cowers backwards and they don't know what to do. They retreat. Let me tell you what you do. Mom, get in the Word of God and say to your kids, you want to mess with me? You're going to mess with God. And I'm not sure why you're on your phone right now because I'm really giving you good advice unless you're taking notes. So I can do that because I'm a youth guy. So I'm just saying, power and authority. You know what you do? I'll tell you what you do. There's a girl named Stephanie, and I'm coming to a close. If the band would come, it'd be great. There's a girl named Stephanie. I didn't know this. She lives in a trailer. Her parents are alcoholics. I mean, I'm not talking about just alcoholics. They don't work. There's nothing. They just lay around all day and they just drink all day. They are government subsidized. The young girl is a sophomore in high school, soon to be junior. She has two younger siblings. They live in a trailer, double wide trailer. She came to my youth ministry one night, and I was talking about Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, and the authority of Christ to forgive and to free. I'm not even finished with my message. And I don't know if it ever happened to you, but it's almost like they start running, they start coming, and you're like, sit down. Nobody told you to move. I didn't come to this part of the altar yet. Sit back down. I didn't say that. She kept moving, and she comes to the altar, and I'm not done preaching, but I am now in this moment. And she falls before the Lord, and that night Stephanie received Christ into her life. But she told me the story. She said, I come from alcoholic parents. I have never been in church. I thought I was an atheist, but I don't even know what that is. But my parents said they are, and my grandfather said he is, so that must mean I am. See, we have a generation now today that calls themselves atheist and agnostic. They don't even know what that means. But they were inherited that. That's a generational curse thing. And so all of a sudden she says, I don't know what to do. And I said, listen, tell me what's happening. She said, well, I go home at night and I see two demons at the bedpost of my bed. And they're yelling at me, screaming at me, and they taunt me every single night for the last year and a half. I can't get rid of them. I ask God, but nothing ever happens. And I said, okay, Stephanie, listen, from this moment on, you're going to have the power of God in your life because now you receive Christ. And you're going to have the authority to say those demons be gone. And I'm going to tell you how you're going to do it. I need you to take this little bottle. I had a little tiny bottle. You can go ahead and do a little riff or a little something. Don't leave me hanging. And so what happens is I gave her a little tiny bottle of oil, about that big. You know how we have those ones in the church? Some of y'all have it like that. You might pour it on people. But we have a little tiny, you think a little dab. I said, here, take this oil and go home and anoint your bedpost of your bedroom. And I promise you tonight, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, I promise you this, you're going to start hearing God sing over you. And she said, excuse me? I says, yes. Zephaniah chapter 3, look up the scripture, read the scripture, and then anoint your bedpost and go to bed. Well, I don't see her for 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, she comes running towards me. You will not believe what happened. Oh, Pastor Rand, listen, man. Since I've received Christ, I'm telling you, all these miracles are happening. Stuff's happening. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry I'm not here. I work at Burger King, and I worked the last couple weeks, and I finally got the night off just to tell you. She was doing it like that. She kept saying that. I can't wait to get back to tell you that that night I went home. I anointed not only my bedposts, I anointed the whole house. But the problem is that little bottle was too little. So I found a gallon of oil. And I took a gallon of oil and I went and I started in the trailer. I hit the curtains. I hit the couch. My parents are sitting. I'm like, or my parents. I went in there. I squirted oil on their bed. I hit my doorpost of my trailer. I hit everything. I went into my little brother and sister and I put oil on their head and I prayed over them that night. And I'm telling you, as God is my witness, there was nothing but singing and celebration and God in my room. Woo! Oh, you can do better than that. That's the God we serve. There was power. Listen, she was just a new kid saved. She was just a new person saved with that much authority. I had left the church a couple months later. It was my time to leave, and I went and I started back on the road again. And I'm in New York, Tunnel 1 to New York. It's about maybe 6 months later. And she writes me and says, listen, through Facebook and everything, messages. And she says, I took my parents to church yesterday morning, but it just didn't work out. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I took them, and we have about, we have three services of 1,000. So there's about 3,000 or 4,000 people to go to this church. This is the last church I served in-house. And she said, I put him in the second to the last row, which I shouldn't probably have done that. And they fell over and they started snoring in the middle of the pastor's sermon. Like you could literally hear. I was so embarrassed, but the ushers helped me put him in the van. I took him home. I was very disappointed, but I tried. I just wanted you to know. And I wrote her back and I said, you're awesome, sweetheart. You are so awesome. Because even in their slumber and even in their drunkenness, they were in the house of God listening to the word of God. About 3 weeks later, I get another face message. 3 or 4 months later, Pastor Rand, you will never believe what happened. And I could hear her tears. I could hear her tears, not just see them, I could hear her tears hitting the Facebook message while she's writing me. And she said, this time I took my parents and I put them in the second row of the church. And pastor started preaching. My dad jumps up and says, oh, my goodness. And he's looking around and he's like, am I in church? And the pastor's like, well, hello, welcome. I'm in my second point, but I'm glad you woke up. Can I help you? Here's what he says. Sir, I have not been in my right mind for 32 years. I'm a drunkard. I don't even leave my trailer, but somehow I ended up here. And I'm in my right mind. Would you lead me to Jesus Christ? Come here, sir. And he came and the whole church erupted. Not even 10 minutes later, the wife wakes up. Honey, what are you doing up there? Love of Jesus. I'm in my sound mind. We're in church? Yes. Come, Lee. Come on. And she receives Christ. They get in the van that day to go home. Stephanie jumps in the seat. The dad says, no, time out. We walked out of church. I'm driving home. He gets in the van and he says, listen, he turns around halfway down the block. He pulls off in a Meijer. We have a Meijer. It's a shopping place. He pulls off and he turns around. And he says, listen, with tears, I have not been a father to you. I have not been good to you. I have been horrible to you. I've abused you. But I'm telling you, I'm in my sound mind. And I don't know from this time on how good of a father I'll be, but I will be a good father. And we're going to start at one place. And the one place we're going to start, because it's making all things new, is we're going to completely remodel the entire trailer. I don't know if we've had a grease fire. I don't know who's throwing stuff all over the place. I almost broke my face 2 weeks ago going to the bathroom. I slipped all the way to the bedroom. Something's happened in our trailer. We have to remodel our trailer because it's horrible. And Stephanie writes me and says, you could not believe how hard I was laughing, but I was laughing under my shirt so he did not see me. Her brother and sister came to Christ. Her mom and dad came to Christ because of the power of God and the authority that she had to anoint. The last point is forward. Forward is this. The time is coming soon. And we're seeing it all around us. The forward is this. Very true to verse 25. I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those he hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Watch. And he's given him authority to judge because he's the Son of God. Do not be amazed for this, for the time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. This is all John chapter 5. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. To be condemned. That is all John chapter 5, verse 25. And here's what it says, 25, 26 through 29. Isaiah 28, 6 says this, a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and the strength to those who repel on the onslaught at the gate. Zephaniah 3, 15, for the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy, Israel's king, Israel's king. The Lord is among you. No longer will you fear any harm. So how do we come to a conclusion here? What do? We say, do you want to be healed? Verse 30 says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. He's here. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed of depression, anxiety, shame, sexual addiction, struggling with identity? That's our problem in our culture today. And so this is my altar call. The sound of my voice, you've never received Christ, 11:15 a.m. We're going to finish. You're here today and you say, you know what, somebody invited me, or I've heard pastor preach, but I've never received Christ. I never said that to me. I don't have power. I don't have authority. I don't have the forward. The time is coming, but how do I move forward? How do I understand that? Well, the forward is receiving Christ. Because once you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, young people, listen to me. Don't wait for your mom and dad to receive Christ, for you to receive Christ, because it's not an inheritance like that. You stand on your own at the judgment day before the judge, And you've got to get accountability of your life, young people, not your parents' life. Did I not preach that all weekend? So you hear the sound of our voice. Pastor's been preaching. He's been praying. People have been waiting. It's here. You want to receive Christ your personal Savior? I don't even want to play games with you. I'm going to ask you this. You want to have power in your life, authority in your life? You want to move forward? Stand up. Say, that's me. God bless you, sweetheart. Power, authority. Anybody else? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Oh, my goodness. All of heaven's going crazy right now. Because of you two young ladies. Would you do me a favor? Would you, young man, come on. Would you step out of your seat right now and just meet me right here? I'm not going to embarrass you. I don't have a cup to give you. I don't even have that unless you're visiting. You'll get something. But I'm saying, we're getting coffee and cookies later. But here it is. Just come up here. I need a gentleman. I need a man that knows how to pray. I need somebody that knows how to talk to a young man. Come up and put your hands on. I need a woman to come up and pray with this woman. I need another woman. Come on. Is there anybody that knows how to pray? Anybody? Yeah, come on. There you go. I'm going to say a prayer, you guys, and you're going to repeat after me, ladies and gentlemen. This is the greatest day of your life. I'm just saying. You got a lot of good things going on in your life, but when you step forward and you receive Christ now, all things change. Now watch. I'm not going to tell you that things like trouble, crazy, you're married. Are you married? Not yet, but she's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? It'll happen. You're all right. Well, you have been, but you know what? Wait on the Lord. Some good things will happen. You're not married, sweetheart, right? Okay, good. It'll happen. If you want it to. I'm not going to push it. All the stuff you've been through in your life, divorce, separation, whatever, from this moment on, is cleansed under the blood of Jesus. All spirit is stupid. All spirit is crazy. Come on. Anything is after. Listen, I've done crazy. God's washed me in blood. Thank you, Jesus. But as we lead you today in a prayer, sinner's prayer, all things are brand new. Whole slate. It's like that etch-a-sketch. Shake it. Brand new. That's our life. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? So I want everybody to repeat this prayer for me. Lord Jesus, you also. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Wash me. White as snow. Today, I give you my life. I receive you as my personal Savior, to live in this body, to move me, to drive me, to forgive me, to make me whole. I choose today to be forgiven, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And I call you my Master, my Savior, and I promise to follow you the rest of my life. When storms come, when hardship comes, when crazy comes, I will do my best to focus on your word and who you are. So I receive you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.